Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Hey there. Busy week. Survived the eclipse. It was like, it seems like it's such a long time ago. Got some great pictures. Well, cloud pictures and a few almost eclipse pictures, because where we went, it had a little bit of an encounter at the last possible second at the moment of full totality. Of course, that was when the big cloud moved in. However, the perk was some of the pictures that my husband took right ahead of time had this little alien imprint, like a little face up in the clouds, you know, the ink blot test. Well, it looks like a face. So that was the highlight. Other than that, it was a beautiful day. And so, you know, right afterwards, the deluge of rain that came through, we managed to find our way back home and celebrate that we had an alien photo. However, there were some other people who did get shots, and that's what's fun about this, is when you scope through the various shots of people who took pictures right there at the time of the eclipse, they also got, in some of those photos, a few surprises, and some of them do look like they could potentially be some kind of an unidentified object. So that was kind of fun looking through that. During the week, a miracle. Now, I can't find the actual person. The BBC has an edited monologue by Abigail Brown and talks about she has a disability, and she had this story where she went to a church very well known for, it's absolutely gorgeous, Sacre Coeur. I hope I'm pronouncing that halfway, you know, decent, probably butchering it. But anyway, I spelled it on Wendy's Coffee House Blogspot. All right, so I'm covered. It's got a link. You can look at it. It's gorgeous. But she said she went to the church, and one of the nuns, while she was there, a group of nuns walked up to her, and at the end of her, whatever she was saying, in terms of, you know, we are praying for you, she got up out of her wheelchair. That was the best miracle of the week. I'm thinking, okay, this is just one that fell into the timeline. But Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel, they've got this fabulous old school up in Idaho that they're going to be featuring. Everybody had to be quiet about it in mid-July when they were filming, so nobody would mess up the shoot. But they say that the place is haunted. And I guess it was for quite a while, the school was out of business and it was empty. And so the people who moved in, I think 2007, that they started experiencing things right off the bat. The guy who was the caretaker describes a really intense encounter. And he said, yeah, it's the ghost. So yeah, he believes. Now that relates, this was a time of year that we did with Elite Paranormal. I went with them to do an investigation at KU, Sigma Nu, and they wrote about it in the Lawrence Journal World. I put the link there too, because this is, you know, the students who live there have had these encounters. And there was a recent write-up, I think, in 2013, talking again about, you know, what's been going on and what goes on there. And some of these old buildings are just fascinating because that's part of it. And when I was doing the research for that, I saw a note from 2013, Ariana Grande, who took a trip to Stull, Kansas, the cemetery, because it has all sorts of wonderful urban legends around that. And I've driven by for years and years, never, ever given it a second thought. Well, you know, I knew the legend, but I didn't. That was it. And since then, I've heard people who've had these interesting encounters. And then one guy who said he made the whole thing up because he was trying to get a date. And it went from there. So much that the Pope won't even fly over it because it's one of the, you know, gates of H-E-L-L. Anyway, we don't know if that's true or not. But hey, it's a good story. So some of this stuff is so fun because this is local. It has some kind of a relation. And if you want to find out more about prairie ghosts, that's what the site is for Kansas and Missouri. The Kansan has a book, Ghosts of KU. You can check that out, too. Sigma Nu, they do have the article. We went in and did the initial exploration of the property. And one of the guys who was there, who was a handyman, had some incredible, incredible stories. He was part of it. His stuff was just mind-boggling that, you know, for one thing, that he wanted to keep showing up again. He was fascinated, though. One of the things that he experienced was that when he would take a nap, this woman's voice would say something in his ear. And he could feel, you know, he could feel the presence, and something touched him. And that's pretty intense. But so he was just fascinated by the whole thing, and he kept showing up. He was, you know, about as fascinating as he was scared. So it kind of equaled out. But that was interesting. And also, when we went back, there were two times I was in the basement there, and I wear necklaces. And each time, as a little perk, it undid my necklace. Just it's a little clasp thing that fastens, and you can't. It takes a little bit to undo it. So just, you know, as a reminder that we don't have all the answers, and sometimes it's just fun to play with those of us who don't have all the answers. This is what happens. So that was fun. The ghosts in the news, I guess, caught my attention just because of this being that time of year when we did the investigation before everybody came back to school and it was empty. So seeing that there's another one of those, that's coming up on the Travel Channel Ghost Adventures show coming up, and I don't have the date for that. If you need a little help this time of year, sometimes it's, you know, the doldrums, the dog days of summer, and then things happen and you think, well, you know, I just need a little perk. You can do the happiness class. 8-week course is the Science of Happiness, and it's free. It starts September 4th. So there you go, if life is getting you down just a little bit. In the meantime, if you want to get happy real quick, meet Hennessy, the dog who has his own room cupboard under the stairs, kind of like Harry Potter. His peeps made him a really cool room. He has little pictures of the family, and little, you know, they're all right there in his little room, and he loves it. So that, and then there was the animals were kind of giving a telegraph of how intense things are going to be with the Hurricane Harley. The one that was amazing to see was the dog Otis, who had a bag of food, carrying it down the street. Otis, I think, looks like he was part golden. And they couldn't get a whole lot out of his owner, except, yes, he arrived home safely, and that's before the flood, so I hope they're okay. But watching him walk down, when that looked like a pretty significant, that was a, you know, a big-sized doggy bag that he was carrying with him. And then the other one was the hawk. And this guy, William Brusso, posted his stuff on YouTube. So you can watch. He had like 5 or 6 YouTube videos of this hawk who landed in his cab. And people, the comments are saying, oh, that's a trained hawk. You know, he's probably spoofing everybody. Well, it may have been a trained hawk, but it wasn't his. So he had the wildlife folks there. TWRC retrieved the hawk, and the hawk went away. But it was just, when he landed in the cab, he said he didn't want to leave. He was determined to stay. And so he took him to where he was hunkering down, and you saw pictures of the hawk, just like, yep, I'm here, I'm not leaving. So that kind of gave a clue that this is pretty intense. All right, this is an interesting story, and a whole lot more. These are the experiencers, the people who have had, and they don't like to use the word ET, UFO contact, all sorts, not just, you know, the little gray, but paranormal also plays into this. So these are some really fascinating stories. I'm going to talk with Ray Hernandez. He's one of the guys who's the co-founder for Experiencer.org, the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. Next on Wendy's Coffeehouse. KCMO Talk Radio. My music decided to take a break. Okay, I have to do a quick edit. When you do a live show, you can't do this. You have to say the right word, and they don't. I think I called Hurricane Harvey Harley. Okay, that was a mistake. Harley Harlequin. Anyway, so just in case there was, since we can't edit it, I'm going to correct it right now, just so you know. We can use Hurricane Harley another time. Actually, the guy called Harvey the Hawk named the hawk after the hurricane as he left. So anyway, my guest tonight, Experiencer.org. If you are not familiar with this is where people who have had ET contact of any kind or anomalous experiences, paranormal, unexplainable type things have taken a survey and put their stuff into the pot, all anonymous, to give us a better idea of what might be going on with this. I wanted to talk with Ray Hernandez because I've talked with him before, and they've made progress, and there's a book coming out, and I want to catch up with what is going on now and where we are so far with this really one-of-a-kind and first-of-its-kind research that gives us a better idea of what's happening with these UFO experiencers, okay? Hey, Ray, how you doing?
How are you, Wendy?
I'm good. I'm glad you're available. I want to pick your brain and catch up with what's going on with the Foundation for Research here with the extraterrestrial encounters.
Surely. The formal name of our organization is the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial and Extraordinary Experiences, otherwise known as FREE. And FREE is a 501c3 non-for-profit academic research institute that is comprised of 11 retired PhD academic professors and lay researchers. And what we're doing is we're undertaking academic research on what is consciousness, what is the true nature of our reality. However, unlike the traditional consciousness studies or research, we're doing it by undertaking cross-comparative surveys of individuals that have had contact with non-human intelligence via what we're calling the contact modalities. That's individuals that have had near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, UFO-related ET contact through shamanic journeys, mystical meditation, channeling, ESP, et cetera, et cetera.
And with this, you have some 3,000 subjects. And so you have a lot, you have a wide body of content to choose from.
Yeah, we're conducting our survey in 5 major languages. Just in the English language alone, we have more than 3,700 individuals. In Spanish, we have approximately 650 responses. In German, about 450. We're also just starting now in French. And we've just gotten the translation in Chinese. And we have various researchers from mainland China, which are going to be assisting us in the implementation of our survey in Chinese.
Now, the book you've got ready to go, is it out yet, or just is it? Because this is Beyond UFOs, a Science of Consciousness and Contact with Non-Human Intelligence.
Correct. That book is expected to be out to the public in April of 2018. And once again, this is a book that's going to be over 800 pages in length. It'll have roughly half of the articles will be academic-related articles by our PhD professors. And the other half of the book chapters will be specific case studies of topic categories from our research study. And I could also discuss some of those with you as well, some of the more detailed case studies.
Okay. Well, first, I want to get back to the research that you've done. You've already had, and this is how it gets a little bit more credibility, one of the papers, you've had the data results, you had a paper published in the Journal of Consciousness, and that's trying to get the documentation and the scientific credibility for what you're doing. So that's already being started now, too.
Yeah, we also have a second paper that was accepted by the Society for Scientific Exploration. And this is a peer-reviewed academic organization that's comprised of mostly PhDs. And these are, you know, professors that are working in fringe areas, like people working on ESP, on astrophysics, but, you know, non-standard types of physics-related projects, paranormal PhDs, professors that are studying different paranormal aspects, professors that are studying near-death experiences, et cetera, et cetera. And these types of academics quite naturally have a difficult time in publishing their investigations in the quote-unquote standard scientific journals. So the Society for Scientific Explorations provides an avenue for academics to be able to publish academic scientific studies in these so-called, you know, fringe areas. So our paper our second paper will be published in that journal. And we also have a third document, which is being led by Dr. John Klimo, who was a professor for over 40 years in psychology, and he's very well known as one of the leading academics in the paranormal. He's writing up the analysis for our phase three survey, which is the qualitative instrument for a research study.
Well, and part of this, in terms of the research that you're doing, you insisted that the people who filled these things out were anonymous. That was the one thing that was crucial. This was going to be anonymous.
Correct, because what we discovered was that the vast majority of the individuals that took our survey are individuals that never mentioned their experiences outside of their immediate family. The reason being that these topics are still taboo within our society. For example, we've had several medical doctors. We've had other academic professors, some of them teaching in major universities like Stanford, Berkeley, and Ivy League schools that have prepared our survey, that have taken our survey. We've had firemen, police officers, you name it, people throughout all levels of society with different degrees, including, as I said before, many individuals with distinguished academic careers. But again, all on the insistence that that it would be anonymous, that their names, their personal information not be revealed. And this is quite well known within the researchers in our field. We know many individuals, doctors. For example, last weekend I was at a retreat with a medical doctor, an emergency room physician. And this person is a major experiencer. But yet, you know, as a matter of fact, I went to lunch. The other person that was there was a psychiatrist, okay, a medical doctor in psychiatry, and the other one was a PhD psychologist. So the four of us were there going out to lunch as part of this conference that we went to. All of them are experiencers. All of them are still hiding in the closet.
Okay, and that's what we want to get into in the next break, some of the stories that you talked about. But the other thing, too, is that most of the people, all of the people who were filling out the survey, said they didn't have any psychological issues. And even though that is kind of a weak link with this survey, you're doing follow-ups with a lot of these people going back for stage two, stage three, stage four. Or is it Dr. Klimo who's going to be doing that fourth interview?
Well, we're having a team of one is a PhD psychologist who is a PhD statistician. For 40 years, he's worked as a statistician. Dr. Klimo's involved in this next phase. Dr. Bob Davis, who is a retired professor of neuroscience, and myself. And we've developed an instrument to be able to administer several tests to see the psychological profile of these individuals. The problem with the standard mainstream instruments that are used to determine if someone is mentally unstable or not is that almost all of these instruments do not take into consideration anomalous contact experiences. So what we're using, we're implementing instruments to determine how stable they are in terms of their job, how functional, their family environment. In other words, whether these are, you know, normal, functional people in their lives. So that's the instrument that we're implementing, and that's going to be for the top 100 cases. Now, let me just add to that there have been at least six different major studies done by academics in the past over the last 25 years that have studied whether experiencers are nuts, you know, have mental instability.
Yeah.
And Leo Sprinkle, as a matter of fact, who was a member of our board of directors, was the first academic to undertake these studies. This is in the early 60s. And he published three of these, actually seven studies. And what he determined was that these are very stable and normal individuals, and it follows a normal bell curve. You know, there's a certain small group that are mentally unstable, just like society at large.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. John Mack, who's a professor of psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School, also came to the same conclusion. So the literature is filled with published academic research from psychiatrists and psychologists that have concluded that experiences of anomalous contact experiences are normal and mentally stable people.
And the people I've talked to, these are some pretty phenomenal experiences and people who have very high credibility. All right, we're going to take a break. Up next, though, we're going to come back and hear some of the case studies that you have, because that's also fascinating, too. We're talking again, Ray Hernandez, and he's had his own fantastic experience. I posted that on Wendy's Coffee House, the blog, so you can check out Ray's story. We're going to steer away from that tonight because we want to get into the details of the stories that are involved in this particular study, because this is what makes you go, a lot of people are having these experiences, and these are the folks who are talking about it. Connecting a few dots. My guest is Ray Hernandez, and he is an experiencer and one of the co-founders of FREE, the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. And like I said before, he's had some experiences. You can check that out with the Disclosure Gift Project. Michael Harrell did a great job with the interview, and that's posted there. I interviewed him before as well for Conscious Living, the other show I do on Empower Radio, but with the thing tonight, so much has happened, and there's so much to cover with the recent the papers that have been released and the upcoming book, that it's nice to see the progress. And you mentioned before we went to the break, you've got some stories, some of the top ones that you can share. So I would love to hear some of the highlights of the study.
Well, one of the highlights of the study that we found out was that the vast majority of these individuals that have had multiple contact experiences, they're living in a cornucopia of paranormal experiences. What we found out was that 80% of all of the 3,700 individuals that took our surveys in the English language, 80% of them have had out-of-body experiences. 37% of them have had near-death experiences. 67% have had telepathic communications with non-human intelligence. We have had 85% of these individuals have stated that their experiences have been positive. And the most important finding of all was that we administered 70 questions to see how they might have changed after these experiences. And we found out was that 85% of these individuals have undergone a profound psychological transformation for the positive. And let me just give you a couple of illustrations. Individuals that were non-spiritual all of a sudden are very spiritual. People that were religious all of a sudden are not so religious but very spiritual. People that all they cared about money, all of a sudden are non-materialistic. People that fear death all of a sudden have no fear of death. People that were didn't care about their environment all of a sudden are very ecologically friendly. People before that were ogres, which is nasty people, all of a sudden the most loving people in the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We asked approximately 70 questions associated with that. So I guess in summary, the most profound were the paranormal experiences, the multiple type of paranormal experiences that people were having. And I could go into each of these details or specific areas with you later on. And also the profound transformation that people went through after these experiences and the extremely positive nature of these experiences.
See, that's a different story than we get with the alien abduction scenario.
Well, the reason was because no one ever did this study before. What you had was you had people like Bud Hopkins or David Jacobs. People don't know David Jacobs who has published many books on abductions, the most he has ever worked with is 200 individuals. And these are individuals that he hypnotically regressed. This is not through conscious, explicit memory. Our survey only asked individuals to respond to questions based upon conscious, explicit memory and not through lucid dreams and not through hypnotic regressions. Because it's very easy via hypnotic regression for you to present leading questions, for you to be able to taint and slant the individual.
Right.
And also, this is not scientific. If you're just taking people that walk through your door and you put them in a trance to hypnotically regress them, that's not science, okay? And what we did was advertised our survey in multiple scenarios. We posted it in over 500 Facebook sites every 2 weeks, consistently for over 3 years. We went on over 100 radio interviews to talk about our free survey. We actually did the interviews in multiple languages among different countries in different languages. And we have a mailing list now. It's almost 10,000 names where we're constantly sending out advertisements for people to take our surveys. So most experiences now in the English language know about what we're doing in free and have taken our survey. So it's very, very different from getting 200 people that walk through your door and for you to hypnotically regress them. So to respond to what you just said, the reason why this is not circulating on the internet is because this study has never been done before.
Well, and I like the fact that everybody who participated had to consciously say, I was wide awake, I wasn't under the influence, this is something I remember, this is the time, basically, you know, approximately that it happened, and there was no kind of extraordinary substance involved. That's huge. It's crucial. So in terms of, yeah, basically you're doing a psych evaluation on some level, trying to get people to remember this was a lucid experience, so what happened during the experience?
Correct. So it's, as I said before, the internet is filled with so much disinformation and misinformation, and that information is not based upon any type of academic survey instrument or data collection at all. It's just based upon a collection of individual case studies. And again, what is presented on the internet, on YouTube, and is all fear-based information, because that's what sells. That's what gets propaganda. But what we found out was that is not actually what's going on.
Ray, what were you able to debunk, just like the top two or three things that you debunked with this survey?
Well, number one is this whole aspect that this UFO-related contact experience is not associated with the paranormal. What we've shown is that is the basic finding of our surveys, that this is basically a cornucopia of paranormal experiences. For example, as I said before, 80% have had out-of-body experiences, 37% have had near-death experiences, 76% have seen a ghost or a spirit, 47% have conversed with a deceased person, 49% have left their body and have seen Earth from out in space. 66% have seen different types of orbs, not through pictures, but we're talking through their eyes, mm-hmm. different types of orbs. 46% have seen an orb go through a wall. 47% have what is commonly called a shadow person. On and on and on. Telepathic communication, 67%. This is another interesting finding. 51% of these individuals have had a medical healing by non-human intelligence.
Yeah.
Again, 51%. That's something that you just don't read about. But we're now documenting these cases, case after case after case after case.
Okay, Ray, can I interrupt? Can you please, can we just please say your dog was healed?
Yes, that was actually my first experience together with my wife. We had our dog that was totally paralyzed. We had called our vet. We were going to be euthanizing her the very next day. Then my wife was praying all night, And when we woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning, the dog was barking. We checked her out, and she was still totally paralyzed. So my wife carried the dog down to the living room to bring her outside. And there she saw we had an encounter with an energy being in our living room. This energy being put me to sleep for 45 minutes. My wife and dog disappeared right in front of my eyes. And then when I woke up, my wife was dancing in the middle of the living room saying that the angels cured her, the angels cured her. And the dog is now running around like a teenager.
Wow.
And so it was just a mind-blowing experience. And then after that initial experience, my wife began to see UFOs, having paranormal experiences. She saw these 3 8-feet-tall human beings dressed in white monk robes float right in front of her. Then about 6 months after this initial experience, I had a contact experience with a huge, gigantic craft that was 30 feet away from us for 45 minutes. My daughter was a witness to that and 3 friends.
Okay.
And these are hardcore Catholics. And numerous other type of paranormal experiences. And again, I'm not just unique. These are happening to thousands of people. What we've been able to do is finally to document these things.
Well, and that's why I ask you about this, because it's so much more legit, because you know what you're talking about and you take these things seriously instead of going, okay, let's pick your brain. We don't believe a thing you're saying, so just humor us and tell us your story and we'll discount it as soon as we get all the details together. That is not what's going on here.
Yeah, well, what happened was I went to UC Berkeley, University of California, Berkeley, for a PhD. I'm also an attorney. Before this experience, I was a total material rationalist. I was even a total atheist. I had no knowledge about UFOs and the paranormal. So once I had these experiences, I began to, first of all, go to the Internet, and I quickly found out that, you know, 99% of what's on the Internet is BS. But I also quickly found out that there's no research. No one has ever undertaken a research study of these phenomena, of the experiencer of UFO-related contact. And so that's why our data is so shocking to so many people. Why? Because it's never been done before.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, no one knew about these things because no one ever did the study before.
Okay. I will say, I did the test. However, I got to the part where it was like, oh my, one more question after the other. And it's very detailed. So after, you know, several hours in, I think, part 3, I said, I hope you have luck. Good luck with your test, because I'm done. But that was it. There was so much in terms of detail that anybody who takes this test is offering that I think you have a ton of material to work with. And you're asking people to give very descriptive accounts of what they've been through. And I think that helps tremendously in having that kind of content. But you do have to be tenacious if you're filling out these surveys. And the fact that you have this many people who've gone through all that is really impressive.
Well, a lot of people have said, well, how do you know whether someone is just making this stuff up? You know, the response to that is you will have been forced to spend at least 10 hours doing all these 3 surveys to do them properly. So no one's going to be spending 10 hours to make stuff up.
You know? Absolutely.
And even then, if we do have 4 or 5 or 6 people that are making this stuff up, we've had 3,700 people that have taken these surveys.
Well, and not only that, you have to go back and account for. So it's not like if it didn't happen, you're not going to remember the details you're putting down here. It's a lot more intense and a lot more complicated than just saying yes or no. It's describing.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's I think what is so important about this is the level of information that you're digging into and asking for. I guess they'd have to be really tenacious and somehow, since it's anonymous, looking for some kind of recognition from the researcher to be able to do
that. The survey was developed by a team of retired academics together with researchers in this field, people like Kathy Martin, who's heading up MUFON's Experiencer Research group for many, many years. And Kathy herself is a major experiencer, authored with Sam Friedman of many, many books.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Rodwell, who's been probably, in my opinion, the world's leading non-academic researcher of UFO-related contact experiencers.
Yeah.
People like Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who has written over 60 books on paranormal experiences. You know, these are the type of people, together with our academics, in partnership, we developed a survey. So it was done properly, it was done the right way, the methodology is there, and there's really very little that someone can try to criticize this research study.
Okay, hang on just a second. Again, we're talking with Ray Hernandez. He's an experiencer and one of the co-founders of FREE, the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. I want to come back and ask you, because Dr. Mitchell came up with the quantum hologram theory of consciousness. I want to ask you to describe that a little bit when we come back. We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
All right, and we're going to be back here. KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio, it's Wendy's Coffee House. All right, if you miss any of this, and if you want to hear more of Ray's story about his experience, get on Wendy's Coffee House, the Blogspot Disclosure Gift Project. Michael Harrell did a fantastic interview, and Ray talks about the details. But we're moving on. I wanted to get into what Edgar Mitchell coined the term, the quantum hologram theory of consciousness, because this kind of puts all these non-ordinary states and the physical state, it gives some kind of a middle ground so that you can have these experiences and be aware, and yet maybe not everybody else around you is going to have the same experience. Is that a good way to put it?
Yes. First of all, FREE is not a ufology organization. We have little interest in the nuts and bolts aspect of ufology. What we are is an organization that's studying the science of consciousness, as I said earlier. Now, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, founded this very famous institute called the Institute for Noetic Sciences, which is now the major institute that's studying consciousness and ESP and precognition, et cetera. Now, what the quantum hologram theory of consciousness is a scientific research study based upon advanced quantum physics and also the brain, how our brain interacts with the cosmology, the structure of our cosmology, to be able to tap into the zero-point energy fields where information is stored and enters into our brain and how we process it, that we're able to deal with the multidimensional aspect of our reality. Now, again, this is not pseudoscience or metaphysics. If everyone goes to our website, experiencer.org, we have the first of our three academic papers on that website, and that goes into the detail of the story, and you can see that most of the people might not even understand it because it's so physics-based, okay? But it's an attempt to be able to discuss the true nature of our reality. And two of the lead authors, as I said, are Dr. Rudy Shields, an emeritus professor of astrophysics from Harvard, and he's our executive director of FREE. We also have Dr. Claude Swanson, who received a PhD in physics from Princeton University. And plus, we have Dr. Bob Davis, who's a retired professor of neuroscience. So these are, and there's three other academics involved here. So these are major heavyweights that are writing this up. And it's, again, it's an analysis of neuroscience and advanced quantum physics that's being utilized to describe the nature of our reality, which is a holographic, multidimensional multiverse. And one last point, most of the PhD physicists that are getting their PhDs in theoretical physicists, most of them now are string theorists, okay? Now, string theory has as one of its basic tenets that there are either 11 or 12 dimensions to our reality. So again, this is not metaphysics here. This is real hardcore physics. And then the rest of the majority of the PhD physicists now accept either string theory or different types of multiverse theories. But the bottom line is that the vast majority of PhD physicists now understand and accept that we live in a multiverse. But yet that information has not filtered down to, you know, the lay reader.
Well, and that's something that is, I guess, for this kind of study, is asking people to adopt a different concept of what reality is and how consciousness plays a much greater part and probably is the underlying aspect. We still can't define it, but that's what gives us our perceptions of reality.
Correct. The fundamental structure of our reality is a multidimensional reality that's based upon consciousness. And that's what we're targeting. And let me just give you a very, very quick example. We're having individuals in out-of-body experiences, with near-death experiences, and UFO contact experiences that are taken to other realities. They're being taken to other realities that are not contingent on space and time. We also know that physics, starting with Einstein, stated that, you know, space and time do not exist, that these are not, you know, a component to our reality. You have individuals that are being brought to other dimensions, other realities, being brought back in time, forward in time. People are interacting with a whole array of hierarchies of non-human intelligence in these multiple realities. And again, we're not just talking about some drunk guy living in a trailer park here. We're talking about, you know, professors from Princeton University, professors from Stanford University, major universities that are having these experiences. Half of our board members, our board of directors, are major experiencers, except they haven't publicly talked about these things. So what we're trying to do is, since so many of these individuals, and again, even the NDE field, you have numerous medical doctors that have come out publicly talking about their near-death experience. Mm-hmm. The most recent and most famous is Dr. Eben Alexander, a neurosurgeon at the Harvard Medical School. I mean, you know, he's out there talking publicly about his near-death experience. So we're having numerous individuals at so many levels of reality that are describing this multidimensional type of experiences. What we're doing is we're applying science to these type of realities, and then in turn, the information that they'll tell us gets us to be able to rewrite science, the quantum physics of it, to be able to explain these realities.
Hey, Ray, do you think they're trying to give us like an intervention and help us get through this rocky period?
Well, there are numerous individuals that we've documented in our survey that have told us what the non-human intelligence have relayed to them. And basically they're talking about that we need to become more spiritual, that we need to become less egotistical, we need to take care of our planet. If not, we're going to blow our planet up where no one's going to be able to live here. So these are the basic messages that they're giving us, that we have to become more spiritual, we have to become more loving to each other, and we have to take care of our planet. Because if not, you know, we're not going to exist as human beings.
Have they given us a time frame? Help.
Well, that's been mixed. the time frame. The vast majority of these cases where they've been given this type of information, they have not been given a time frame.
That is so not fair. That's open-ended.
Correct. But however, there is many theories that have been written up by exobiologists. And Dr. Mitchell Parkle and Stephen Hawking and many, many very well-known physicists have talked about something called the stages of evolution of intelligence, that we go through different stages of evolution. And they did mention that in all likelihood, other civilizations in the past have destroyed themselves.
Okay.
That's what we're trying to avoid here.
Yes. Yes, we're trying to avoid that big time. All right, and I've got to let you go. We've got 30 seconds here. Ray Hernandez, my guest, and if you're interested, and this is really important, experiencer.org, okay? You're going to find out all the details. Check out Wendy's Coffee House. I did links to all this information as well, so you've got that. But the timeline, since it's open-ended, there's still hope. Hey, Ray, thank you for talking with me tonight. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Wendy.
And stay curious. A lot of stuff going on that we can't see, but we can sense it. All right, so give that a whirl. Till next time, see ya.
The IRS.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.